You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Biggest week of the year in terms of golf. We've got the 148th Open Championship coming to you from Royal Portrush from Thursday onwards. Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Dave Tindall. Excited about this, Mr. Tindall. Good evening to you, sir.
Yes, doing this Monday night, aren't we? Bit of a change.
Late podcast.
And then we're speaking to Matt Cooper in a minute, and I shall be joining him tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going across the Irish Sea to Port Stewart, next door to Royal Portrush, and you're going to enjoy all 4 days of the Open Championship.
Should be cracking, yeah, I can't wait.
Golf journalist Matt Cooper joins us live now from Port Stewart. He's been soaking in the atmosphere ahead of the Open Championship. Good evening to you, Matt.
Evening, guys.
Are you well?
I'm very well. I'm currently not on Port Stewart Strand, but I'm just around the corner watching the sunset. Pretty beautiful scene at the moment.
And you've been able to take in a bit of the practice rounds, and you know how the course is going to be playing this week?
Yeah, I've managed to get two tours of the course. First up yesterday when I got in very early yesterday, and then I've had another walk round today. Spotted a little bit of Tiger Woods, who I would say is walking around a little bit carefully. Mm. The sort of gist that everyone seems to be picking up is that he might be a little bit stiff. But on the other hand, he's like saying that he's got 36 holes in because he's never played Portrush ever before and he wants to get the experience under his belt. And I think that little bit of glint in his eye that was there at Carnoustie last year, I think we'll know for sure tomorrow when he comes in for his press conference, but I think he might be sort of up for it again.
Let me just spin you through the prices here at William Hill. Rory McIlroy is 8-1, Brooks Koepka 10-1, Dustin Johnson and John Rahm both 14-1, Tiger Woods 16-1, Justin Rose is 20s, Xander Schauffele 22-1, 25-1 and bigger the rest. Let's talk about the golf course then, Matt, because we don't know much about it. We last hosted an Open Championship for the first time and only time back in 1951, hosted the Irish Open in 2012 when Jamie Donaldson won as well. And it's most noted, I suppose, for its green complexes, which are pretty undulating and difficult to read.
Yeah, I'd say there's probably, definitely the green complexes are interesting. There's probably three categories. About four or five of the holes have got big drop-offs at the front of the green. About another sort of five or six are quite raised greens, but in a very sort of beautiful, natural Harry Colt manner rather than, say, for example, the sort of nasty things that came up at Wentworth when they had the renovation a few years ago. And then there's some other greens that are like protected with humps and bumps around them. But I think hitting those is going to be pretty key. And for example, if you miss them, it's quite shaved off areas. It's very noticeable that a lot of players are practicing putting from off the greens rather than doing chipping. And in actual fact, I've seen quite a few players chipping from off them and then not looking particularly good when they're doing it, or rather not being particularly happy with what they've done. So that somebody who's got a good short game is going to be quite key, unless their approach play is brilliant. So I'm sort of also looking for people who've got great approach play stats.
Is it fast and firm then, or is it soft at the moment?
It's definitely not firm, but at the moment I wouldn't say it's soft either. There was a bit of rain last week. In fact, there was a sort of mini flood in the TV compound, but that was largely due to a very fast flash flood. So I came here expecting to be very green when I'd heard there'd been so much rain, but it's not as green as I expected. Darren Clark came in today and he sort of like said it's definitely not soft, but it's definitely not firm. I was on the ninth tee, ninth fairway, and I watched tee shots come in, and a lot of players were struggling to stop the ball going into one of the bunkers. Mm-hmm. And it was running sort of 40-50 yards into that bunker, which that suggests it's running okay. But there's a lot of rain forecast for Wednesday on the latest forecast, so that could soften things up.
And have you managed to catch, you mentioned you'd seen Tiger play, have you seen any other players practicing there yet?
Dustin Johnson was out there with him, and I actually saw somebody report that he's been hitting a lot of high fades on the driving range, but I saw him hit like a massive big hook off the ninth tee. But I mean, the one thing you can never tell in the practice rounds, I'm always a little bit wary about overplaying whatever you see. You don't necessarily know what they're attempting to do. So, I mean, clearly he's not attempting to hook it into the rough, but he might be just seeing what happens if he has a massive thrash at it and then he suddenly discovers that that's not working, so he puts that to bed. So I'm a little bit... Ricky Fowler, I thought Ricky Fowler was a bit half-hearted, actually, but, I mean, again, you've got no idea what he's actually attempting to do. Well, I'll take you just back to one other thing. When we were discussing what the course is going to do, and yeah, that Francesco Molinari came in today, and he said, he's an interesting phrase, he said a lot of the players are going to be hitting the ball to the same spot. And if you remember, that's a sort of odd thing that people say a lot at Sawgrass and Le Golf National. And in actual fact, on the 17th hole, they've got a large area of the fairway roped off, and players can't hit from there during practice. And it's because they're expecting there's going to be a lot of divots in that little area, which kind of hints that they are limited from the tee a little bit. I can think of at least five tee shots where most players are going to be hitting to the same area rather than some are going to be driving and some are going to take a safe option. And then there's probably another four or five holes which are very narrow. Now, people will hit driver there, but they're bringing a lot of risk into play when they do it. Mm. Rory's talked a lot about that, by the way, and Darren Clark did today when he came in. And the rough is in places quite thick green rough. That's around the sort of outside of the course, so 1, 2, 4. But when you get inside the course and you close to get to the sea, the real threat when you miss the fairway is there's a sort of like a rooty sort of weed come plant type thing. And it's not very thick, but the ball settles very low in it.
And I've heard that out of bounds is in play on a number of holes as well.
Yeah, that's true. And an interesting one is actually the first. I mean, many people think that the first is quite an easy tee shot, and a lot of players are hitting iron. However, the prevailing wind is left to right, and the white stakes down the right are actually surprisingly close. And because there's hospitality down there as well, it almost gives it the impression that it's even closer. So they're actually aiming down the left-hand rough, and a lot of them are just actually sticking there. So when I chatted to the marshals down the left of the first, they said a real surprising number of balls are getting in that rough. And it's in places, it's quite thick. I saw Mark Leishman struggle to miss the green short when he got in that rough. So there are a few little problems out there.
And do you think scoring is going to be difficult? Because we've obviously seen in the lead up to this, Lynx tests at La Hinch and the Renaissance Club, and they've been quite easy, low scoring events. Do you think it's going to be a real Lynx test this week? Because I think that's what, as a viewer, I want to see anywhere.
I certainly think a lot of us are craving it, because like last weekend was a bit of a damp squib with everybody just firing at the pins. I think it's going to be much better than that, but the forecast is not great in terms of there's going to be showers, so that will dampen the course a bit. Mm. And there's no forecast of more than 15 mile an hour wind. The tricky bit with the wind might be that it's predicted to change quite a lot, and it happens very quickly here. So I walked across the first this morning at about 9 o'clock and the wind was going in one direction. I walked back out 20 minutes later and it completely flipped. So that's a possibility that could, you know, that could fool a few players. But I think largely it's going to be the rough and the runoffs on the greens that's going to protect the scoring. But the one thing has to be said, the first three holes, if it's very flat, are quite attackable. So it's entirely possible you could see people reaching the fourth tee, 3 under par. Mm. I just hope that the course shows its teeth after that.
What's the atmosphere like there as well, Matt? Because I've read that that there's a real excitement around the town getting the Open Championship there for only the second time.
Yeah, I first came to Northern Ireland in January, and the buzz was so amazing in Belfast. I just thought, whatever happens, I've got to be there. Made sure that's happened. Last night in the Harbour Bar, which is quite famous in Portrush, the buzz was pretty amazing. It's sort of carried on today. But the course, yesterday, Sunday, expected nobody there. There were probably 10,000 people there.
Wow.
It was just ridiculous. And I spoke to a guy who runs a merchandise shop there, And he said on the first Sunday of Carnoustie last year, the shop took £46,000. And yesterday they took £164,000. And the numbers were massive again today. For a Monday, it was ridiculous. The place was packed. So I think we're expecting that come Thursday, it's going to be a little bit giddy.
Who do you fancy?
I'm quite keen on Henrik Stenson. He's had three top tens coming in here. I was very pleased that he got a little bit grumpy last week. I think even if you look at his reported quotes, he was a bit upset that it wasn't a proper links challenge. Off mic, I think he was a little bit grumpier than that. It's almost like he took his foot off the gas because he didn't want to come in this week with high expectations. But I think his three wood could be a really, really good weapon on this course. And if you look, his strokes gained approach stats, both on the European and PGA Tour, are really, really good. Another person who's very high up on those stats is Shane Lowry. He's also got famously great short game touch, which I think could be important if he does miss the greens. And he's also won twice at Portrush, albeit in sort of amateur events, but high-class Irish amateur events. And I think there's a little bit of quiet confidence about Shane Lowry at the moment. And then if I was going to go with anybody else, I think Matt Kuchar, part of me doesn't really want him to do very well, but I think he's got a great game for it.
I think you speak for every single golf fan on the planet when you say that, Matt. 60-1 it is for Shane Lowry. Matt Kuchar's been well backed. He's 33-1. And Henrik Stenson in the betting at 25-1. I know we've caught you and taken you away from your dinner as well, Matt. So I'll let you get back to the restaurant. And I know you're going to have a fantastic week out there.
Thanks very much. Enjoy the week, Dave, when you get here, and back home watching it on telly, Dave.
thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Matt.
See ya. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Matt Cooper, live from Port Stewart, having seen the practice rounds this afternoon and giving us some real in-depth analysis about the course there, Dave.
Yeah, some interesting insights there from Matt. So, yeah, that just gives you a bit of confidence, doesn't it, when you know someone who's actually on the ground and see what's happening. There's no sort of weird curveballs that we're too thrown by, but yeah, good to get his insights.
Rory McIlroy 8-1, Brooks Koepka 10-1, Dustin Johnson 14s along with John Rahm, Tiger Woods 16-1, Justin Rose is 20s, Xander Schauffele 22s, Francesco Molinari, Henrik Stenson and Justin Thomas all 25-1, 28-1 and bigger the remainder. And Matt still told us pretty much everything we need to know about the golf course. But just as a little bit of added extra, only 64 bunkers on the course, which is the fewest.
I read it was 59.
I read 64, so we've got conflicting information there. We're only five out. But they are strategically positioned.
Yeah.
So they will come into play. And as I mentioned there in that call with Matt, out of bounds is definitely going to be a factor this week as well. And the rough is up.
Yes, so it's almost a shame. I mean, Matt mentioned about sort of last week's Scottish Open and how it wasn't really very satisfactory. And there's too many of these sort of birdie fests, aren't there? The US, the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
It's like every week, it seems, there's just a birdie fest. So it'd be nice if it... You'd like just maybe like one or maybe one and a half or 2 days where it's absolutely wild wind that would really just sort the men from the boys. But, you know, you've got to play the conditions, got to, you know, go with the hand that you're dealt. So my instinct is, it, as most majors are these days, it will go to like a top 25 player, something like that. It's not very often. I mean, you can get spooked, can't you, when we had those 2 years when Todd Hamilton and Ben Curtis won. I just feel this one, too many good players for that to happen now.
It is a Harry Colt design. He might come into your thinking if you're thinking about looking back through Open Championships of the past, given that he designed Royal Lytham and Royal Liverpool, both of which are on the open rotation as well. And Matt mentioned it there as well, very similar green complexes run up to the greens as well, so you could maybe be looking back at past opens there.
Well, Rory won at Royal Liverpool when it wasn't, the weather wasn't too bad.
Adam Scott should have won at Royal Lytham before throwing that championship away to Ernie Els back in 2012 as well. Anything else you want to mention before we get stuck into our picks?
No, I think we should get going with the picks.
Go on, give us your first selection then.
Yeah, I'm going to go with John Rahm. Mr. Irish Open.
Yep.
What's he got? First, fourth and first in three Irish Opens. The first of those was in Port Stewart, where Matt was just speaking to us from. It's where I'll be staying as well. So maybe all the little omens for my personal bet there. But Rahm has been sensational, hasn't he, in those two Irish Open wins. He's got it in his head now that when he goes to Ireland that something special is going to happen. The latest was just a couple of weeks ago. So that is a big confidence booster with him. He didn't do very well in the majors to begin with, and you're thinking, oh, this is a bit weird. Sometimes players go straight in there, maybe like Koepka or Xander Schauffele, yep, and just get it straight away. Rahm was like, oh, this isn't quite the deal I was expecting. I thought I'd just walk in and immediately start top-tenning all over the place, but he didn't. But he's come up with a formula that works now. He knows how to prep for one now, which is just fine. That's experience for you. And he's got a top four in the Masters, top four in the USPGA, top three at Pebble Beach in the US Open recently. So he needs this to sort of complete the set of doing well in them. But I think he can do better than just do well. I think he can go right to the top this week, John Rahm. 14-1 he is. So he's, you know, he's been found in the market, as we often say. But I could just see him holding that claret jug and giving a really good speech.
I think I think conditions are going to be beneficial for Rahm if we are to believe that the wind isn't going to pick up and the golf course is going to take some weather over the next few days, because he will want, in my mind, a low scoring championship.
Yeah, I think that would be easier for him. He's won his two Irish Opens, and maybe he's got a false sense of the weather in Ireland, but he's certainly being able to go and shoot low numbers. Yeah. He won't be able to go as low this week, but he can still get on one of those rolls. You could see him. I mean, Matt talked about birdie in the first three holes. You could see him doing. He did that at Pebble, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So you could see him coming out of the gate fast. So I think as long as he gets off to a good solid start, I think he's going to be right there on Sunday.
John Rahm, 14-1, playing win only or each way?
I'm going to go win only. I think I really do think this is his week, and you know, I don't think he needs a sort of careful top 10 or something like that. He's going to go straight for it and win.
I must mention 10 places for your each way bets here at William Hill, so do check out the market. Maybe there's a few outsiders you like the look of. A massive 10 places, and we are running the Eagle Has Landed promotion as well, so you can take advantage of that at Royal Portrush. 10 places on offer, you're bound to have maybe a fiver each way or a tenner win. If you do that, you'll get a tenner free bet every time your player makes an eagle here at William Hill. You've got chances as well. The par 5 12th is definitely reachable in two. Three par 5s on the layout. So let's hope if you're having a bet and you're having a fiver each way or a tenner win, your player makes plenty of eagles this week. £10 free bet every time your player makes one.
Well, John Rahm knows how to make an eagle when his first two. PGA tournament by making an eagle at the last hole. So yeah, that's a nice little bonus, isn't it, for him?
I'm going with Patrick Cantlay as my headline selection.
Ah, yes, good.
30-1 Cantlay. I know this major has been something of a haven for the grizzled veteran in recent times, those with tons of experience on the links, but Cantlay is just in the middle of a special season. His final round at the Memorial was verging on perfection. To seal a title of that magnitude with a nerveless 64, I thought was really something special. And I think we're going to need a player this week with all facets of his game firing. And Cantlay has that. He leads the PGA Tour in scoring average, 12th in strokes gained approach, 13th in strokes gained around the green this season. So his long game and his short game on song. And he's obviously a man that's been through a lot in his career. Lost his 2013 season to a stress fracture in his back, which certainly stunted his progress. And then lost his best friend in a what was a tragic hit and run back in 2016. And that's when his focus for the game of golf just dropped off, and understandably so. But he's reassessed things, rededicated himself now, and he's a special player. And I think he should be alongside the likes of Xander Schauffele and Francesco Molinari at that bracket, 20, 22, 25 to 1, and he's 30 to 1 here, and I think he's a very good each way bet. And add to that, he's got links form, having finished 12th at Carnoustie in his first Open Championship appearance as well. So I think the stars are aligning for Cantlay, and I think 30 to 1 is a big price.
Yeah, I think that tied 12th in an open already does kind of...
That's a real added bonus, isn't it?
Answer a question, the obvious question, like, can he do it on a links? But yes, he can.
And I think he's one of those as well that if the wind doesn't pick up and it's less linksy than maybe you'd expect an open championship to be, that will play into his hands.
Yeah, I mean, you've got it... Just so many Americans seem to sort of get it, don't they? You've got someone like Kevin Kistner coming over last year and finishing runner-up, and if he can do that, you know, Patrick Cantlay can.
Yeah. 30-1.
Yeah, I like it. I'm very close to putting Stenson up. I think a lot of people are on him this week, and...
Matt Cooper's done it for you now, though.
Yeah, it's kind of... Matt's sort of done it. So I'm just going to jump further down a bit to a bit of variety, because I think this player, I think often... In any golf tournament or, say, a major, it's about the timing and how's your game coming in there. And sometimes people are going over the top, going off the boil. Others are maybe just starting to come back into their best form without maybe of showing it. Maybe someone like Bernd Wiesberger, maybe he's peaked now, having had a little run. He might still keep it going. But I think someone who played decently at the Scottish Open without really revealing their hand could go well. And the one I looked at was Ian Poulter, 66-1. I think that's a big price for someone who can really, you know, raise his game on the big occasion, as we've seen so many times in the Ryder Cup. He's played well in lots of Opens. He was runner-up Birkdale in 2008, tied ninth in 2002, tied third in 2012 at Lytham, which we've mentioned, tied ninth there, tied third the following year, 2013. So he's lots of good form in an Open, tied 14th a couple of years ago as well. Now, he had a lot of top tens at the start of the year and a tied 12th in the Masters, so that, you know, not even in that little run of top 10. So he was playing some great golf. Then he had a dip, and you're thinking, you know, you wouldn't really touch him for a while. Showed up in majors, the sort of weakness, didn't play well in the PGA, missed a cut in the US Open, but started to get things going again in the Irish Open, where his strokes gained approach was particularly impressive. He gained 5 strokes on the field that week, and then he kept it going in the Scottish Open. So he's had 2 nice weeks on the links. And I know this doesn't apply to Rahm, but I did a little stat. 8 of the last 10 winners had played the week before. 8 of the last 10 winners of the Open had a warm-up.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's been in the John Deere, which you think, well, that's no warm-up, is it? But it is in terms of just getting sharp and maybe making birdies, feeling confident. So I think Poulter, not that he needs confidence ever, but even him maybe just seeing those signs in his game. So he's gone miscut 41st, 14th. I think he's ready now to kick on into that top 10. And because we've got 10 each way places.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, finish ninth, why don't you? That's just fine at 66s. So I think there's some leeway in that price. He was the one where the kind of the each way terms maybe guided me a little bit to the player, because 10 each way places on a 66-1 shot. I really like that with Poulter, and I think he's just timing it right.
Okay, I'm going towards the slightly towards the top of the market for my second pick here. I'm going with Adam Scott at 28-1. I'm still having nightmares about his near misses.
I thought you signed something to say you would never ever back him again.
I think you're right. I think I did in an Open Championship because admittedly I wasn't on him when he threw that one away at Royal Lytham, but I'd had a big each way bet when he I looked for all the world as if he was going to at least place at the Open Championship back at St Andrews. Was it 2015?
Yeah, and he went out of bounds on 18, where even a 36 handicapper probably wouldn't.
You can't go out of bounds on that last hole, can you? it was the fact that his mind must have been scrambled then, because he'd hit the front in that Open Championship and he'd gone favourite. He'd had a chance to win, and then he got to 18 and he'd lost that chance to win, and it was one of those where I'm watching the TV coverage and I've not seen Adam Scott for ages, and he's still safely berthed in an each-way payout place. And then it cuts to him on the 18th green and it's put for bogey. and he's 15 feet away.
Yeah, and you're presuming that's birdie putt all day long.
Oh, yeah, it cuts to him and you're thinking that this is a birdie putt, obviously, because we all know the road hole on at St Andrews is a drive just short of the green, a flip onto the green, and you're putting from 15 feet at worst. And to see that bogey putt was heartbreaking. When he missed his opportunity in 2012 at Lytham, bogeying the last 4 holes there, at least he went on to win the Masters the following year.
Yes.
So it kind of eased the pain for him, didn't it? But he's back in that sort of form now, Adam Scott. So he undeniably comes here with a top chance, and he's so focused right now, and it's shown in his results. And I'm not bothered about him not having a prep run, because you mentioned that is important, but Adam Scott never has a prep run. He always prepares in his own manner for these events. And he's got such a good Open Championship record, and he's not put a foot wrong recently. That second place behind Cantlay at the Memorial, played supreme golf and was just beaten by the better man on the day. Tied for eighth at Bethpage Black in the PGA Championship. Went well at Pebble Beach again. And I think with 10 places on offer, you can have an each way bet on Adam Scott, and no 28-1. He's just rock solid.
Yeah, when he won the Masters, he'd had a month off beforehand.
Yeah.
So, there are sort of these
it's different
general
strokes
trends,
different folks,
but yeah,
isn't it?
But some of them can clearly have a number of weeks off when they just go well when fresh, kind of thing, isn't
yeah.
it? So yeah, so with him, specifically him, it's not a worry, is it?
Mm. So he's my second pick, and I've got one more as well,
right?
In the outright market.
So have I. You go.
Hao Tong Li.
Oh, you're joking me. This isn't scripted, everyone. Honestly, Hao Tong Li. I'll show you. It's like countdown working out. I'll show you. Hao Tong Li.
100-1. We both fancy him.
Yes. Well, you go. I'm sure I'll just agree with everything you say.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's clearly not overawed by the big occasion, Hao Tong Li. Stared down and beaten Rory McIlroy in the Dubai Desert Classic. Went close to claiming another big scalp when second behind Dustin Johnson in Saudi Arabia earlier in the season, in windy conditions as well. And Hao Tong Li charged through the field at Birkdale a couple of seasons ago in this championship to finish third, tied for 15th at Lahinch in the Irish Open, which was a good run.
Yep.
And he had a slightly below par performance in Scotland last week, but that's held his price up to a certain extent. But it's worth noting that even though he missed the cut, he had a second round 65, and he's just got a great short game, makes loads of birdies. And I think it could go well this week at 100-1.
Yeah, I love it when they miss the cut with a low score, because
second round score.
Yeah, because
works it out eventually.
They've clearly just had a bad day at the on day one, and overall you still think they're playing well, but because of the missed cut, you probably. I mean, say he makes that cut last week, finishes ninth or something. We're not getting hundreds, are we? There'd be a bit more. Suspect,
yeah.
Circumspect about his pricing, but having come third in an Open already, he'll just go into this thinking, yeah, I like this tournament. And as you say, 15th in Ireland, he's good links form, likes a bit of wind as well. He came fourth in his home China Open, which, you know, as an event, it's not a strong field, but for him, that's pressure playing in his home Open. So, yeah, I think he's a big time player, Hao Tong Li, and I think he's just getting better. And, He's kind of very nicely under the radar this week.
Yep, I like him a lot. Hao Tong Li at 100-1. Any others you want to mention before we talk about the leading contenders?
There's another player I like, but I'm going to play him in a top 20 market. He's a quite big outsider.
Okay, we'll come to the specials very shortly. And we've got hashtag your odds as well on the way. A couple hashtag your odds here. One from Dave and one from myself. Rory McIlroy 8-1, famously shot 61 at Royal Portrush as a 16-year-old. A very different Royal Portrush to this one that he's going to experience this week. Burden of expectation with McIlroy. He's often underperformed in the Irish Open when the whole of Ireland are willing him on.
But he did win one, didn't he? He has won an Irish Open.
True.
A couple of years ago when the whole of Ireland were willing him on. And I think, if you're piecing together an argument, I think you would use that Irish Open win as a stepping stone that he can do it under pressure. You've made the link to Royal Liverpool. Well, that was where he won his Open. Mm. Oh, it's a great story, isn't it, waiting to be written with Rory? And I think if he can just get a nice start. I mean, the weather is going to help him a little bit. There's still that stat, though, isn't it? He has not won a tournament with less than, is it 14 under or something like that?
Yeah.
12 under, so he needs the favourable weather, I think. So I think it's going to go in his favour this week, which is good for him.
Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka, he's got his caddy, hasn't he? Which is just I couldn't believe that when I found that little Ricky Elliott, Brooks Koepka's caddy, is from Royal Portrush. So the thing with that, the only thing with that is Koepka's won all four of his majors by playing the week before, and he says, I like to play the week before, so why hasn't he played the week before?
Yeah, it's strange though, isn't it?
Is he leaning on his caddy thinking, well, I don't really need to? But I don't think that's really the reason why, you know. It's not like he knows these are the courses he's won majors on. It's more he's got into a rhythm. I don't know why. I just don't understand why he's not played the week before.
We keep saying with Koepka, and we've said it on this podcast a few times before as well. I think we said it before Pebble Beach. There's got to be some regression to the mean with Koepka. He can't keep on churning out unbelievable finishes in major championships. It just doesn't happen unless your name is Tiger Woods and you're arguably the greatest of all time. Is Koepka in that bracket? We don't know. We don't think so. Well, I don't think so. 10-1, is that the right price this week?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you could talk about golf to say, like, your Uncle Barry, who knows nothing about golf at all, really. But as that Koepka, he keeps winning them. And then he's 10-1 and he wins, and Uncle Barry looks like genius. Or just, why was I overthinking it?
Yeah.
Because you could say, with that run, was it 4-9? I mean, that's only just over even money, isn't it?
Yeah, he's finished second in a couple of them as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. I am very much going on the law of averages to some extent with this, because he's got a 6 and a 10th in opens. It's not like,
and he's a very different player now, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's done all the. He came. This is where he started his career over in Europe. So he's got all that groundwork, and I'm sort of talking myself into backing him here, but. Yeah, anyone backing Koepka at tens is absolutely valid.
Dustin Johnson is 14-1.
That's less clear to me.
Yeah, I think I'd heard the same rumours that Matt Cooper had heard about DJ missing everything off the tee to the right, and he's not been able to rectify that. He's not in the same sort of form as he was when he finished second at the Masters and second at the PGA Championship behind Koepka. And that might be a concern, because you're thinking Pebble Beach is Dustin Johnson's playground, and he underperforms there, misses the cut in his latest start. But then you're getting a bigger price on Dustin Johnson as a consequence of those slightly subpar performances.
You are, but for me, I mean, Dustin Johnson is 14s, Rahm is 14s. I know which one I'm picking out of those two. So it's all. His price has maybe drifted a little to what it might be if he was in great form, but to me it's too short for what I think he's showing at the minute.
Tiger Woods,
my worry, as Matt said, it's kind of confirmed what people might think. How will the old back feel when you're getting up at 4 o'clock on a chilly Irish morning? I'm not sure.
I agree. I think the rain hampers him. I think if it's cold and it's damp, I think Tiger wants the sun on his back now.
I mean, you kind of look at the Masters and you say that, well, that's because he loves and knows the course so much. I think part of the formula for him winning the Masters is because it's probably going to be the hottest major, because, you know, it can get to 100 degrees in Augusta at that time of year. So Tiger knows he goes there, well, my back's going to have a nice week as well. Where here, it's a sort of, it's an added issue, isn't it? I mean, he's just not played much in the build-up, so you think he's trying to protect it a little bit. Did you see the thing about him setting his clock to Irish time in Florida? What's the point in that?
So he was up at 1 a.m, wasn't he, basically?
Which is silly, because the whole thing with jet lagging is playing in the lights to trick your body. So when he wakes up at 1 o'clock in Florida, it's dark.
What I don't understand about that is, if he's going to go through all that, why doesn't he just have a couple of weeks with his family in Ireland?
Yeah,
it's strange. I never understand. You don't have to play maybe a few courses in that part of the world. Go to Royal Portrush early, have a couple of weeks with your family in Ireland. You don't have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning in Florida.
It's like he's had some sort of misguided conversation with Bryson DeChambeau, giving him the science about, and he's got it the wrong end of the stick or something. I don't know. But to me, it just seems an attempt to sort of be clever, but without being clever. Mm. Not for me, no.
No, not for me either. I just want to mention one other name at the top of the betting. Justin Thomas at 25-1. I backed him before last week to win this. 25-1 is probably the right price now. I thought he played well in Scotland last week. I think he'll be suited by this test at Portrush. I know his Open Championship record is abysmal. And maybe last week wasn't as linksy as we'd like. But he showed that he's in good form and good nick at the moment. I think he'll go well, Justin Thomas.
Yeah, the one for me who's, I said to you off air, but you just rank in the field in terms of, you know, golf tournament on course X.
Yeah, in terms of just pure ability kind of thing.
You wouldn't be having Bryson DeChambeau at 40s.
Yeah.
He'd be in the 20-somethings.
Yeah.
He's won loads. Obviously, he's done nothing at all in majors really so far. He had one good year as an amateur at the Masters, but he's still not got a top 20. But I don't know.
It will happen at some point. It's just whether or not it's going to be in an Open Championship,
yeah,
I suppose.
It's going to happen.
Because you can't control everything in an Open Championship, can you? You're going to get bad bounces. You're going to get moments where there's a bit of grass between club face and ball.
So it's whether he is pure, you know, it's pure science and, you know, you need art as well. But I think there's enough in his game to... Part of it, I think, he just enjoys the thinking about it. So it is a challenge that you need to think about. So in theory, I think he might do well in Opens. Mm. He's obviously come over to Europe and on the European Tour and done well, hasn't he? He's won in Dubai, was it, early in the year? It's just one of them ones that you think on pure price, if you're just looking at how good the field is, at 40s, that sticks out a little bit.
Yeah. And I must mention, it might not be out when you're listening to this podcast, or it might be. We've done an Open Championship preview video as well.
We have.
That's out. And I put up Mark Leishman in that as well, 60-1 Mark Leishman. So I've got to mention him on the podcast. I've always thought this was his best chance of a major championship. And given that the tournament has a habit of throwing up a veteran, I thought the Australian was worth a chance as well. Great long iron player. And if the course plays fast and firm, that will be a vital asset this week. And his Open Championship form is very strong. That's because, for a large part, his short game is so strong. From 2014 to 2017, he had three placed finishes in four starts in the Open, had a good chance to win at St Andrews. His form coming into this isn't exceptional, but it's by no means disastrous, and I can see him coming alive this week. So I'd maybe shove half a point each way on Mark Leishman at 60-1 as well.
Yeah, he's always someone you think of as an Open contender. Yeah. And quickly back to Stenson, I think one obvious way to back him as well is for a top five, because he's so consistent at the minute. And if you look through his record, when he does play well in an Open, he really plays well. And all his good finishes were actually top fives. They weren't tied ninths, tied eights. They were first, second, third. So when he's on it in an Open, he really is on it. So you could play him top five.
6-1 he is to finish in the top five. Let's talk about the supporting markets. There's loads of them on the William Hill website. I've got a bet in the top continental European player market, headed by John Rahm, 11-4. Francesco Molinari, 9-2. Stenson's in there at fives. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, 10-1. 11s and bigger the rest. The one that I like in this market is, obviously, it's a very competitive market. We've talked about Rahm. We've talked about Stenson. Not talked about many of the others, but it is a competitive market. I like Mike Lorenzo Vera, the Frenchman, with four places on offer for each way bets in this market. He's just a very good golfer in tough scoring conditions, as exhibited with his second place finish at Valderrama, three starts back. He's played well in both links events in the run-up to this as well, which is a definite positive. He finished 9th at the Irish Open, followed that with a tie for 28th in Scotland, and he was tied 2nd in Qatar, which is obviously an event that's been a good advertisement for the suitability to links golf.
Lots of Open winners have won that.
And even though he's only played in one Open Championship, I think it's a big positive that he tied for 16th in the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black on a course that didn't play to his strengths earlier in the season. He actually ranks 14th in scoring average on the European Tour, which is no mean feat given the amount of rounds he's played this season. And he's 22nd in strokes gained around the green as well. I think he could surprise a few. Obviously, he's a maiden, so it'd be incredible if he contends for this major. But he's very good on the greens, had some cracking results on the coast as well. And I thought whatever supporting market you deem best is worth having a look at this week, Mike Lorenzo Vera.
Yeah, I've got a supporting market player as well.
Go on.
Abraham Anser. I'm going to play him as a top Mexican. Not really. There is actually two Mexicans in the field. There's Isidro Benitez. But
he is 1-8.
1-8 answer to be sort. So I think we need to widen our scope a little bit there.
Yeah.
I'm going to play him top 20, Dave.
Okay.
I think that is a kind of nice compromise without getting too silly about his chances. I think
6-1 isn't it?
Yeah, 6-1. I think that's a big price because I think the first reason it gets in my head is he won the Aussie Open, and you think anyone who wins an Aussie Open can go overseas, can play on a kind of firm track.
Yeah,
with wind. So he won that. It's not like he just got invited over there and did well and waved and finished 21st or something. He won it. So that's, you think that's good. And then you look at some of his other performances this year in big events. He's got tied 12th at Sawgrass, which is obviously the world's best field, isn't it, there. 16th in the USPGA. So he's done it again there.
Yep.
And then the last two starts, we've got an 8th in the Travelers Championship, where he closed with a 63, and then tied 19th in the Irish Open, which is a little bit of Lynx form. So all those events I've mentioned, he's got in the top 20. So 6-1, that is a big old price, because with the Open, maybe in the Masters, you can almost pick 15 of the top 20, because you just know, don't you? It's the same. But in the Open, you're going to get some strange names, and the conversely,
there's definitely some scope there.
Yeah, you'll
get
some bigger names that won't do it. They'll just have funny weeks. But I think Anser is coming in some really nice form, hitting it really straight as well. Good greens and reg figures, putting well. I think he'll be a sneaky one. But I think top 20 is a sort of decent market. 6-1's a decent hit to get him with. Rather, I mean, what is he, 1-2-5s to win it?
Yeah.
I think that's a bit like your Mike Lorenzo Vera dream. That would be nice, but I think if you want to sort of make professional money on him, I think the top 20 is the better bet.
Very good. I like that. Hashtag your odds now then. If you want to tweet at William Hill using the hashtag your odds, the traders will price your bet up and release it on the William Hill website and on the app. And you can already see Dave and I's hashtag your odds, which is available right now and on the William Hill website and on the app. I'm going with Adam Scott and Henrik Stenson both to finish in the top 10, including ties, which is available at 14-1. I don't think I need to say much more about this, because
yes,
we've talked about both golfers in depth, but I think both will go well as Lynx veterans with fantastic Open Championship pedigrees and great recent form. So I like that at 14-1. And Dave, yours is you've cast the net a little bit wider.
Well, one element is Matt Kuchar, top 10. So again, that kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, he's come top 10 the last two Opens. He's won twice this year, blah, blah, blah. But the strange one that I'm giving it a bit of kind of flamboyance with is Joaquin Niemann to finish in the top 20. I sort of wanted to, I didn't want to just write off the John Deere Classic field as kind of, well, they're irrelevant this week.
Yeah.
There's not many of them who've made it to the Open, about 13 or something like that. But two of the last four Open winners did play the John Deere the week before, Molinari and Spieth. And I know they're exceptional, but I still think it's a tournament where you can just hone your confidence, really.
Yep.
So even though it's not Lynx-y at all. So I think Niemann, what he did at the John Deere was tied 10th, 66th, pair 69s, closing 65. It built on a pair of top fives he had in the Travelers and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. His round scores are just tremendous. So I think current form is it's quite a big debate. What would you look for more, current form or Lynx form? I think current form, I think we sometimes get a bit, oh, has he got a great Lynx record? And obviously down the years, American players, he's obviously Chilean, have shown that you can just come in if you're in hot form. It's probably why I was put off Molinari last year. I had him down as, well, he's in great form,
yeah,
but can
yeah.
he do it on a Lynx? But yeah, he just took it through, didn't he? So I think someone like Niemann, who's got form of 5th, 5th, 23rd, 10th, if he can just bring that over, get in the top 20.
Post a good finish.
Big price, yeah.
Yep. That's 25-1, Kuchar top 10 and Neiman top 20. Those do include ties, which is important, particularly, I think, in the Scott and Stenson one, both to finish in the top 10, 14-1. And do you want another little promotion here, Dave? Each day from Wednesday onwards of the Open Championship, there will be a hashtag your odds doubled at random from the actual price to double the price for a £10 bet, which everyone can take part of. So you can have a tenner on whichever hashtag your odds is doubled. So hopefully it's one of ours. That'd be nice. So from Wednesday onwards, and they will recompile the hashtag your odds throughout the course of the Open Championship as well, but one of them will be doubled for a tenner.
Very good.
So do make sure you take advantage of that promotion. And I mentioned earlier on the podcast as well, the Eagle has landed, where if you stake a fiver each way or a tenner win or more on any of your play, you'll get a £10 free bet every time they make an Eagle. So that's another incentive, a reason to bet with William Hill on the Open Championship this week. I think we're just about done, aren't we, here?
Yeah, I think we've covered quite a few players in various markets.
Yeah, we've gone through pretty much everything, haven't we?
Yeah.
Shall we recap the selections then?
Well, that's a job in itself.
We've got a lot to do. Shall I start with my outright picks?
Yeah, okay.
I've got four, actually. Throwing in Leishman
at the end
as well. I thought I've backed him. I've mentioned him on the video. I've got to put him up on this podcast as well. So I'm going to point each way Patrick Cantlay at 30s, point each way Adam Scott at 28s, half a point each way Hao Tonglee at 100-1, and half a point each way on Mark Leishman at 60-1 as my four outright selections. Your outright picks?
Yeah, so I'm going kind of all in a little bit on John Rahm. 3 points win at 14s on John Rahm. Ian Poulter, I'll have a point each way at 66s. Then I'll jump aboard the Hao Tonglee train and join you to make it up to a full point each way by having my half of that half a point each way.
Very good. And I'm taking in the supporting market Mike Lorenzo Vera to be top continental European, a point each way at 28-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go Abraham Anser to finish top 20 at 6-1. But also I'll go with Stenson as well. I want to put out that top five Stenson bet.
At 6-1.
Yes, both Anser and Stenson, both 6-1 shots in their various markets.
Yep. And hashtag your odds. We've got one apiece in the hashtag your odds, and we'll have a point on each of them. Mine is Stenson and Scott. Stenson better play well this week.
Yeah.
Stenson and Scott both to finish in the top 10, including ties at 14-1.
Yeah, and mine is Kuchar to finish in the top 10 as well. And Joaquin Neiman, he's my kind of random wild card, to finish in the top 20, and those two combined, that's 25-1.
It is indeed. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks a lot to Matt Cooper as well, who joined
good
us.
Good insights.
Very good insight from Matt. So thanks to Matt. And thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. You can follow us all on Twitter at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, at Matt Cooper Golf. And those are the three Twitter handles to get in touch with us. Let us know what you think of the podcast, and make sure you take advantage. Lots on offer with William Hill, with that Eagle has landed promotion, the double hashtag your odds from Wednesday onwards, and of course 10 places on your each way bets here at William Hill as well. So check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app, and hopefully you'll have a successful betting week on the final major of the season, the 148th Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.